Hi there, Pastor Austin Vondracek here. Thank you for joining us at Rosewood Church Online. My prayer for you is that this message by our guest pastor and friend will be used by God to bless, teach, and challenge you today. And whether you call Rosewood home and are catching up on a past message, or you're one of our many long-distance partners who tune in every week, would you consider giving back to support the ministries and missions of Rosewood Church? You can do so easily through our website, rosewoodchurch.org. And if you're listening and you're local to the West Michigan area, we would love to have you in person when the time is right for you. And again, I pray this blesses you and helps you grow in your love of Jesus Christ.
Merry Christmas Eve morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. And in case you haven't noticed, I am not Pastor Austin, who is supposed to be preaching this morning. He has COVID and is at home with his family. I talked with him on Tuesday. He didn't sound great then, and we touched base last night. He sounds just as bad last night. And so it's probably good he's not with us, or you would all have a terrible New Year's. And so it is good to be with you. I'm Greg Brower. I am not a pastor here. I was a pastor for about 18 years in Granville. I realized last year was the first year I had not preached or wrote a Christmas message in 18 years. And I always thought you had to be creative at Christmas, and you all just want to hear the Christmas story, don't you? And it's not near as hard as pastors sometimes make it out to be. So Austin wrote a message for today, and I'm going to be honest with you. Any good point today comes from Austin, because it's his message or his points. He is a deep, wise thinker. He gets all the credit for any of the good, deep points. If there's anything funny, that was probably me on accident. And so just roll with it. Pretend it was on purpose. This Advent here at Rosewood, we've been leaning into or learning from some of the greatest music ever made, the Christmas carols. Earlier this week, I was listening to a podcast, and they were reflecting on how they keep writing more and more great, like, Easter songs, and people love talking about the resurrection in music and the sacrifice on the cross in contemporary songs, but no one's writing, like, new contemporary-sounding Christmas songs. They had lots of theories why. I don't know if any of their theories were right, but this is my theory. Christmas carols rock. They're great. And we don't need new ones, and so no one's writing new ones, and we get to keep enjoying singing them, because at Christmas, who wants to have to learn a whole new song about Jesus being born? I just want to sing all the ones I already love. Maybe that's my bias here this morning. Part of the reason I think we like the Christmas songs is because there is deep theology in them, and they remind us again of the love and goodness of God. And so this morning, as we reflect again on one of those Christmas carols, our goal is not to celebrate a Christmas song, right? Because we don't worship songs. Our goal is to see what we can learn from the wisdom in this carol about the goodness and the good news and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Because sometimes we know the songs by heart, but we haven't taken the lyrics to heart. And so we're going to look at our last song today, considering carefully one of the lines from the song. So far at Rosa, we've looked at O Holy Night, O Come All Ye Faithful, Away in a Manger, and today we consider O Come Emmanuel. A little history to this song for a moment. The song dates back to somewhere between the 8th and 12th century, so it's roughly 1,000 years old. And once you're 1,000 years old, what's 100 years or so, give or take, right? In Europe, in that time period, in some churches, they would sing what were called antiphons. And some of them, they were just phrases you'd sing between reading of scripture. And some of them were structured so every phrase you sang began with O. And so you'd read scripture and then sing, oh, something or other, and then read some more and sing, oh, the exact same something or other. And O Come Emmanuel seems to have been inspired by one of these O antiphons. They O, and then we sing something. And so we sing, O Come Emmanuel. This is the oldest song we're looking at in this series. The others are all really new. This is kind of the grandma or grandpa of all of the songs we're looking at. And we're also going to look at the absolute shortest phrase in this series, just one word, Emmanuel. If you've heard that word before, but you don't know what it means, and you're afraid to ask because you've been in church too long, it just means God with us. And I want you to repeat with me Repeat after me, excuse me, these phrases. It's kind of the theme for our sermon today. So repeat after me. God is.
God is.
God was.
God was.
God will be.
God will be.
With us.
With us.
As a side note, if you ever ask the congregation to repeat something after you, have the choir behind you. They're really good at doing things together, and they sound great when they do it. God is, God was, God will be with us. That is entirely what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about what those truths mean for us by starting with Matthew's account of Jesus' birth in Matthew 1. Hear the word of our Lord for us. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is, God was, God will be with you, Emmanuel. My prayer, and Austin's prayer originally too, I imagine, is that as we reflect on this word today, that it will sink into all of our hearts, that we will recognize this good news of Christmas, that God is, he was, and he will be with us. So let's look at that phrase in each of its parts, starting with this one. God is with you. In Luke's gospel, which also recounts the birth narrative of Jesus, but instead focuses on Mary rather than Joseph, as happens in Matthew, Luke notes this about Mary's story. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." This is right before the angel tells Mary, unwed teenage girl, you're going to have a baby and be the scandal in town, and this is good news for you. The angel's about to ask Mary to do something really difficult, something none of us would wish on any of our teenage girls. This has become more and more real to me as my daughter is 12. And so the first truth the angel gives her is this, because it's what she needed to hear, and it's what we all need to hear. The Lord is with you. Some of you, probably far more than I know, as I'm not your pastor, are in a place right now where you're hurting, where you're scared, where you're worried and lost. Maybe you've had a down year at work and you're worried about what that means for people's employment, yours or someone else's. Maybe you had a cancer scare this year, or it wasn't a scare, it's just cancer, and you're not sure what's going to happen next. Maybe you lost someone that you love and this is your first Christmas without them. Maybe it was someone you lost years ago and it was right at Christmas, and all those feelings come back every single year, that grief and that pain and that sorrow. Maybe you're dealing with a mental health issue. Either it's yours or someone you love, and it's hard to grapple with life when someone can't see what really is, isn't it? When everything gets twisted and distorted for them. Maybe your marriage has hit more than just a rough patch, but you wonder if you're going to make it through next year because it's just been so hard. Maybe what we all need to hear today is God is with you. Check this out, a little Greek lesson for you. In Scripture, it says that our God is the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says this, "The God of all comfort who comforts us in our trouble." The Greek word for comfort in that verse is parakaleo. Everyone say parakaleo. They're really good at that. I'm just going to start making people repeat things the whole service just to hear them repeat things. Parakaleo is the Greek word that is really made up of two words. Para, meaning alongside, and kaleo, meaning called to. And so if God is the God of all comfort, what that means is he is the God who is called to come alongside us. Greek is not the prettiest of all languages, but that phrase is beautiful to me, that God is called to come alongside of us. He's called to be with us no matter what we are going through in life. It is in his nature, it is who he is, to come alongside people and walk with us in the good times and in the bads. That is just who he is. It is not a decision, it is a call, it is his very nature to come alongside with us. This promise to me is so important because it feels like almost all the other promises of God hang under this one. If God is a God who is with us, then we can trust all of the other promises that God makes too. Because he's with me, I know I will be forgiven even when I sin and when I fail. Because God is with me, I don't need to have control of my life to feel safe because God's with me. I'm not alone. Because he's with me, I don't have to know the ending in order to enjoy the moment that I might be in. Because he is with me, worry doesn't have to dictate my life. And yet there are times when that promise is hard to hold on to, isn't it? My dad's an identical twin, so we were really close with my cousins because they looked like half siblings when we were growing up. And my uncle posted just yesterday a memory of my cousin. My cousin passed away 21 years ago on December 23 from leukemia, and it's still there. And I remember walking with them because we vacationed with them all the time, and my cousin Dan looked like me except he was tall. Quite tall. I was always jealous because both of my cousins on that side are tall and not as much. But I was struck that walking with them 21 years ago, it was hard to see where God was in that moment. When you're in the moment of grief, it's hard to see where God is in what God might be doing. Sometimes it's only when we look backwards that we can see that God was with us in those hard moments. That's why I so appreciated earlier this year, we had a series that here at Rosewood that focused on having a redemptive memory, remembering where God's past faithfulness and presence were felt so that we can have confidence that God is still with us today when maybe we don't feel his presence and aren't so sure he's being very faithful to us. And in that series, Austin talked about Joseph, the husband of Mary, who our text is about today. But we go back further in time to another Joseph. In Genesis, we read about Joseph, the son of Isaac. And if you don't know the story of Joseph, here is the really quick Cliff Notes version. Joseph was kind of a weenie when he was a teenager. And his brothers hated him. They hated him so much. They didn't just hate him a little bit. They hated him so much that they beat him up. They threw him in a pit and then decided, death and starvation is too quick for our brother. Let's sell him into slavery and make some money off him. So they sold him into slavery. He lived as a slave. He lived with integrity as a slave, gets falsely accused, gets thrown into prison, where he's left to rot in prison. And a fair question about his life in any of those moments is, where is God in that? Because it's hard to see where God is in any of those moments in Joseph's life. And if you look at any of those one events, I'd say it's pretty much impossible to see God's faithfulness to Joseph in that one single moment. But when you look at the whole story of the life of Joseph, we can see that all of those horrible steps are what led to him being put in the second most powerful position in Egypt in the midst of a famine to save thousands and thousands, maybe millions of starving people and his very own family. In the midst of those awful, hard things, God was at work to do something even greater that needed to be done. So where was God in those moments? Genesis 39 puts it this way. While Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Sometimes the current season or episode of our life will give no indication that God is with you. You just can't see it. You're lost, you're alone, you're confused, you're sick, you feel weak, you feel trapped in patterns of sin that you just can't shake. But just as God is with Joseph in prison, he's with you. And if you can hold on, one day you will look back at that day, or maybe some of you will look back at this day, this very moment, and recognize the ways God was with you. And I just want to point out, it's not even that you have to hold on. From our Reformed perspective, one of the things we recognize is that our salvation is not dependent on our faithfulness to God, but on His faithfulness to you. If you're at a moment today where you're like, I can't even believe, it is too much, it is too hard, you can be there because God will be faithful to you even then. He won't let go. Some of you might have a kid who's in that moment right now and they don't believe, and we can have confidence that our God continues to hold on and we can wait for the day God brings them back, because it is not about our faithfulness to God, it is about Him, because we're not the ones who come alongside God. God is the one who comes alongside us. He moves first, not us. So God is with you. God was with you. And then finally, God will be with you. Nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring, but we know who will be there with us when tomorrow comes. Fast forward to the end of Jesus' life, before he ascended to heaven, his final words were this exact promise: surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, lately it feels like every day brings news of another thing that we could lose sleep over, doesn't it? There's more things to worry about, more things to be afraid of, more things that break our hearts, more things that can shake our faith. More diagnoses without favorable outcomes, more death, more pain. I was just looking through our bulletin this morning and was struck by all of the prayer concerns just in our small community. There is so much that is hard at times. But listen to the story from Acts 18. In Acts 18, The narrative is following the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And if you're going to pick one person in the Bible who feels like they never lacked faith, it's probably Paul, right? He's bold. He's courageous. He gets thrown in prison. What does he do? He sings songs. He gets stoned. What does he do? He gets back up and goes back to preaching. He preaches so long and he's so boring, someone falls out the window and dies. He raises them back to life and then says, let's preach some more. Like, he is committed. He's all in. No matter what happens, he's committed to the work God has put before him. But even Paul sometimes struggled and was made of glass. He needed the encouragement of God's promises sometimes to keep going too. And in Acts 18, God does just that when God says this through another prophet: do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to harm you, because I have many people in this city. Translation for Paul is, I'm with you. You don't know what I've already prepared for you. You don't know who I've already set up to help you and support you. You have no idea the goodness I have planned for you, but you can trust that I will be with you. And knowing I'm with you, you can go forward even into the future. The good news of Christmas is simply one word: Emmanuel. Our God is, our God was, and our God will be with you. There is no question that God is with you. That we can be sure of. The question maybe for each of us today is simply this: are you with God? More than anything else, God wishes to be with you. Like a good father who craves communion with his son or daughter, our Father in heaven wants to be with you. So much so that he put on flesh and dwelt among us as Emmanuel, and he came in a form that no one could be scared of. Who here is scared of babies? Well, some of you might be. Probably not, right? Because what do we like to do with babies? We like to hold them. We like to snuggle them close. We like baby smells. Fresh baby smell is one of the best smells out there until they're not fresh, and then you give them back to mom and dad, right? We know how babies work, and no one thinks, oh, that's a baby. That's bad. Babies are great. God comes as a baby because no one is afraid to approach a baby. And then he loves you so much that he's willing to take on all of the pain, all of the evil, all of the oppression, all of the sin of the world on himself so that we don't have to carry that burden, and he carries it to the cross. Emmanuel is with you. Christmas has come. And so the only question worth answering right now for you and for me is this: are you with God this Christmas? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today. We give you thanks that you are a God who is with us, that you are a God who is faithful, that you are a God who will never leave us, no matter our struggles, no matter our burdens, no matter our sin. You are a God who is faithful and then some. As you are with us, Father, we ask that you would give us eyes and ears and hearts to see you and to dwell with you, to abide in your Son this Christmas as well. Amen.
Thank you again for making Rosewood a part of your day. Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord.